handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan, and the sound of my voice means that my dog has to get out of her chair and start walking around because she thinks somebody's on their way inside. Hello, Cookie Bear Covan. That's her full name. Here we are, folks. It's a special lunch hour break podcast on Monday, July 20th, 2020, the year of our Lord, 2020, 1:12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you might get this one a little earlier than normal. All alone, all by myself in the apartment, doing legal work in the home office and just chilling, not turning on the air conditioning. The apartment in Jersey is maintains a great coolness throughout most of the day until the evening when that wall has been baking for several hours. And then all of a sudden it's like, why did the apartment turn 119 degrees? And then you crank on the AC. Of course, Clear Choice Energy. I'm a Clear Choice. I think that's the name of Clear Choice Energy. So I get all my electric from 100% renewables. I live my life a quarter mile at a time, and also I practice what I preach. I try to, at least. I don't shop at Amazon unless absolutely necessary. So for instance, when I was getting equipment for, I paid like $150 extra to get a camera from Walmart that was the same price on Amazon. Now, part of me is just flexing a little bit. I have the luxury to live my luxurious life with a 100% ethics. But anyway, that's not even the point. The point is I try to shop on Amazon not a lot, only when absolutely necessary, which ends up being like twice a year, which is great. So from every other retailer, I get the shit I need. I don't do Facebook or Instagram personally. I do have a show account on those because I do the show with someone else and I don't impose my values on others, except for my dog. My dog is a strict Catholic. but yeah, I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about. Yeah, Clear Choice Energy. Yeah, you know, it's a few extra bucks a month, but how can I be pushing for a Jay Inslee climate plan if I'm not at least putting some of my money where my mouth is? But you know, we're all going to burn up anyway. We're stupid. We'll never take care of climate change because we can't even take care of coronavirus. How, when people are dying today from a virus and you can't convince all the people that it's real and that there are ways to prevent it, then how are you going to tell people that, hey, you know what, in 25 years, poor countries are going to be going through even more horrific famine and floods, and then it's going to hit poor neighborhoods in America, we're gonna have to wait until like 2072 when like Iowa crops are literally on fire and killing white farmers that vote for Barron Trump. That, oh my God, climate change, we need help. Our federal government needs to help us. We pay our taxes. We are good Americans. Farmers put their food on the table. You got to help us, Mr. President, sir. We as real Americans. When them Haitian Americans was swimming in Little Haiti, that was their fault because it was personal responsibility in 2030 when Miami flooded. And, you know, back when Bangladesh was wiped away in a flood and them African countries was dying of thirst and hunger in 2028, that was their fault. But we farmers, we's American and apple pie. Okay, in fact, I make home apple pie from scratch. That alone should make me's worthy of a bailout. Oh my God, I hate so many people. They're in a nutshell. Climate change is going to be the next crack epidemic. You know, like where it's only until like the hardest of the hardcore angry white people are suffering, and then they're going to go, you know, I think we should have done something about climate change. It's clearly something facing our society, and we've got to do something about it. You know, but it's going to take dead third world country people. It's going to take dead poor people of color in this country. It might even take a few poor white people before it finally gets acted upon. And much like coronavirus, once the fields are on fire in Iowa, it's too late. And by then, me and my descendants will be bunkered in a fortress in Cleveland, Ohio, that I will have wisely bought with my 2020 COVID comedy money. I will have a view of the beautiful lake in Cleveland, and the house will basically be like a giant panic room that for when everybody realizes the coastal cities that they've spent so much money investing in are all underwater, that they'll go, well, where can we have a scenic view for an affordable price? And they'll go, well, Cleveland sits right on a giant lake that might as well be the ocean. It's so big to look at. Let's go there. And by then, I will probably be loaded to bear with Second Amendment weapons and a panic room house going, hey, I'm not about this shit, but now it's actually real. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I finally made a good decision with my life, invested in the right place, was forward. Now, by the time this happens, of course, I'll be 109 years old or whatever. But still, you get my point. So anyway, crack, let's put them in jail. Heroin and opioids, let's help them because it's a disease. COVID, who cares? It's poor black people and Latin people mostly dying and a few old people. So you know what? Let's forget that. And then it'll be until maybe somebody of Republican stature dies. But you know what? They'll just delete their Twitter accounts like Chuck Woolery. And then climate change is the same thing. I just laid out to you exactly how climate change will play out. So I don't know. People say, don't be cynical. We can't give up the young people. Did you see that Arizona thing with Trump a few weeks ago where he spoke to the children of the corn? The kids for Trump or whatever the fuck that was? The college losers for Trump, whatever they were called, the hills have eyes for Trump. There's plenty of young people out there who pretend to be of faith and are really just ignorant bigots out there. So don't you worry. We're going to be dealing with these problems. Maybe we'll be able to outnumber them with reason and decency. And people who know me know that I am not an anti-faith person. I'm a church going Catholic. But I am, I try to not be a hypocrite in my own life, and I am very anti-hypocrite trying to use their religion as a hammer and a shield when convenient, but not living those lessons themselves. So, there's too many punitive Christians in this country, the ones who like the Christian stuff, who like the Bible stuff, as I've said before. Evangelical Christians, many of them strike me as people who like the Old Testament more, but don't want to be Jews. So instead, they adopt the branding of Jesus Christ, the more popular brand worldwide. They adopt the brand of Christianity with the Old Testament wrath, and never the two shall meet. It's very bizarre. It's super bizarre and hurtful, and that's unfortunate. But I just, the Trump, you know, obviously I hope he gets bounced. I hope the Democrats pick up 56 seats in the Senate. You know, I don't mean pick up, but I hope they get like, you know, 54 seat Democratic majority in the Senate or something and keep the House and get Joe Biden. And he keeps pushing, getting pushed to the left and but providing cover for everybody who feels uncomfortable in a country without an old white man president. And we get some things done, but there's really strong reason to doubt anything good can really be achieved in this country anymore. I think, have ceded too much power, unfortunately, to an ignorant but passionate minority. And unfortunately, it's not, you know, when Trump gets, to me, when Trump gets 61 million votes or whatever it is in November, I look at that and go, okay, so let's say I'm predicting Joe Biden gets 70 million votes. I'm not kidding. I think he's going to get at least 70 million. I know that'll be a record. I think that just speaks to just the combination of factors that will lead to his victory. But let's say Trump gets 61 million. Isn't that still scary? Like in a country of three, like that he will get 40, whatever the percent, I don't know what percentage that is, but get four, let's say 44% or whatever the fuck it is, 44% of voting people in this country believe that he should still be president even after all this shit. That's scary, and that's a large enough block of gun-toting, hypocritical, ignorant pieces of shit to hold this country back. Now, if we were Switzerland or Australia or I don't know, Mauritius or something, the world would be fine without us leading. They could look to the leadership of Germany or something like that. Odd thing to say, but you know, currently. Not an odd thing to say. They could look to Germany and France to lead the West with a more progressive, thoughtful, caring, sensible. Forget progressive. To me, progressive at this point should be just replaced with I'm a sensible person. You know, progressive is almost this term that's like leftist, you leftist progressive. You want to take away all that. Just say sensible. Sensible. People should have health care. People shouldn't be starving. CEOs shouldn't be making, you know, 1,800 times what their workers make. The stock market should not be the indicator of the economy. Shareholders should not be the ultimate goal. Shareholder happiness should not be the ultimate goal of a company. Things like that. I'm not, you know, Mr. Free College and all that shit, but like, you know, just a sensible platform. Climate change is an existential crisis, and we should be doing things to combat it. But also, especially when it can be done in a way that benefits us economically, it's literally you have to just be against it because you're against it, not because there's any sensible reason. Like if you want to work coal, which is a dying industry, where coal people, they use coal workers as a shield, and then say, oh, we don't want our coal taken away, and then they, you know. Trump does things to benefit coal company owners who then automate half the job. So it's like you're still out of a job, but they used you and your smudgy face and your coal miner hat as like a logo for working men. And then they put you out of work anyway. So now you have no job and the planet is more polluted. Now, it was a horrible thing when Hillary Clinton said, and it was edited, of course, because nobody watches the fucking debates or comments, but when she said, we're going to put coal out of work and retrain people for other jobs. Now, you may not believe that, but the only thing that mattered to people was a coal out of work. Nay, that's nasty. Well, you're still out of work and you're still going to be out of work. But if it's more important to you to have the Republican win and you be a fucking broke idiot, cool. If you want a job, then the future is not in coal. And if you care more about Democrats being wrong than your son having a job in your state 20 years from now, then fuck off. Good. Be unemployed. You know what I mean? Like, I, like at some point, like it's not a sports team. It's the real world where it's like, Cole is fading. Cole is out. Cole is the Washington Redskins logo of industries, or as Trump would say, industries. And you can either just do what's, it's never been a time where doing the right thing for the planet and the right thing for your progeny is actually, and your wallet are actually the same thing. If you can look more than 6 to 8 months ahead into the future. But most people don't. And that's why, you know, it's a joke. So I don't have, I have lost my faith in this country, not because I don't think there are enough people who want to do the right thing, but there's too much opposition to the right thing. And then you have enough cynical people who act like they are King fucking Solomon, who will like stand in the middle of right and wrong and say, well, I choose the middle, and think that's, there's right and then there's degrees of wrong when it comes to things like climate change, healthcare, stuff like that. So it's very strange when you have people who sort of go, I think we need a mix. Well, it's like, you know, it's like COVID. Do we need half a cure or do we need a cure? Like, do we need a vaccine or do we need half a vaccine? Do we need to keep people healthy or do we need to keep people sort of healthy? It's the same thing with the planet. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are resistant because they don't like social media liberals or they don't like being talked down to, who can't swallow their pride and just say, you know what? You were like with, even with Trump, too many people are still just going, yeah, I'll happily vote for Joe Biden, but I can't support Hillary Clinton. I couldn't support Hillary Clinton. I couldn't support her. I'm like, even after you don't regret, like the people who don't regret their vote for Trump or Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, just they fucking suck too. Sorry. No offense. I don't mean it's yeah, you suck. No offense. Yeah, offense, no offense. I don't care. How you can watch Trump operate, a mentally diminished monster, who has done so many bad things and has undermined so many things that have made this country what it is, whether you want to say it's great, good, or somewhere in between, what have made this country last and be what it is and overcome internal and external enemies. He stands for none of that. He stands in opposition to all of that. And if you can sit there and think, here's what I'll say. Hillary Clinton wouldn't have put kids in cages, would have done more to help Puerto Rico during disaster relief, would have not insulted groups of people as president, would have not coddled Nazis and done a false equivalence after Charlottesville. She would not have given companies tax breaks so that they could do shareholder buybacks and then still need a bailout when the economy tanked. She would have had one thing I am 100% certain. She would have not disbanded Obama's pandemic response team, and she would have had a much more forceful, prepared response to COVID. I'm trying to think what else. Obviously, the Supreme Court, I can't count that. Hey, if you're a conservative, you want conservative judges. That's within the game. That's within, you know what, Trump, he delivered you Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and like them or hate them or not like their backstory, these are two accomplished jurists that any Republican president probably would have liked to have put on the court. So I'm not going to count things like that. Those are things that, hey, that counts. That's a, you know, Hillary Clinton probably would have put Merrick Garland and, some younger progressive left of center justice on the court. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about bipartisan things, disaster relief. Well, taxes aren't bipartisan, but Jesus Christ, that tax package did nothing for anybody except rich people. But I'm just talking about disaster relief, disaster preparedness, common decency. Okay, if you want to say that everything else is some kind, she wouldn't have also tried to blackmail foreign leaders into helping her with her campaign. So those are just the basic things that aren't political. Those are just decency, correctness, human decency. So if you think that all these dead people from Corona, the kids in the cages, and that the people at Charlottesville were fine people on both sides, then I can't help you. You're a terrible person also. So I don't know. I don't know what to say. I can't stand people who are like, no, I would not vote for Hillary. She's one of the worst. It's like, okay, great. And of course, yes, I'm excluding people who live in solid states, although I still think, your vote matters in some level, but I understand on a practical level if you live in New York and you voted third party because you wanted third parties to. But this whole righteousness of like, oh, I couldn't vote. My question for people is if you lived in Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, you know, Colorado, North Carolina, Florida, who would you have voted for? And if your answer after watching Trump's presidency is still Jill Stein or is still Gary Johnson, fuck off. Anyway, we're off to a rip-roaring start to the lunchtime version of the Righteous Perk podcast. Thank you, everybody, who is listening. Numbers are perking up a little bit. I think I put out mostly good episodes the last few weeks. And be sure to give it 5 stars on iTunes if you're so inclined. And, of course, I need people to start checking out my stand-up. I busted out a Mike Pence video. Mike Pence got his first exclusive video. I've done a Kavanaugh-Trump video. And Trump the internet. Here's the plug portion, guys. If you don't have money, much appreciated. Just subscribe to this podcast, to Making Podcasts Great Again, my Trump podcast, which is continuing to blow up, which is a nice thing. And then my two YouTube channels, youtube.com/JLCAUVIN and youtube.com/TrumpTheInternet. Both are doing really well. And those are, you watch videos on there, they're monetized. So I get paid. You don't have to pay a thing, but I get paid, you know, and subscribing to the Trump podcast is also very helpful because we're getting advertisers. It looks like we're going to have in the next quarter, we're going to have 3 advertisers per episode, which is pretty awesome because that's going to be nice money. My YouTube channel is paying me a nice amount each month. So those are the ways that if you're short on money, if you can only do free content, totally understand, but you can still help me make money and it costs you nothing. So you're still supporting me monetarily without shelling out one cent. But if you are in the market for new content that costs some money, the Trump podcast has a Patreon, which has a lot of bonus content depending on every level. But, you know, the highest level, obviously, you're getting basically double the content each month. That's patreon.com/MPGA. And then for me, same thing as always. I have a Cameo, which has done very well. Cameo.com/JLCAUVIN. That's personalized messages. I knock it out of the park. I'm getting like highlighted by Cameo this week because I've done such a strong job. Thank you. But also my albums, because I've now started to get a couple of stand-up gig requests. Headlining, thank you. And I want as many people out when it's safe to see me do stand-up. You know, the Trump will be featured, but the Trump will no longer be the headliner of what I do. It really never has been, but I understand that's how a lot of people came to discover me. But streaming or buying, obviously I appreciate both, but I appreciate buying more. You know, I have 6 stand-up albums. I stand by every one of them, and you can really hear my progression. I always tell people basically to buy all of them. If because people will say, I'd like to, this is my favorite thing, and this is why I think stand-up comedy is dying. Just to show people's interest, people go, hey, do you have a Patreon that I can donate to? And I go, well, I do have 6 stand-up albums. So if you were going to give me $50, you could just buy 5 albums and you get my comedy. If you never listen to it, it's a donation. But if you do listen to it, it's not a donation. And you've helped me sell some albums and maybe develop another stand-up fan. So, yeah, I would love it if people would go get those albums, go listen to those albums, and listen to them when you have time, but in entirety, not just a couple tracks. And that's why I think sometimes buying albums encourages people to really invest the time in listening to them. So even though it's good for me monetarily, it's also good for the album. But all 6 stand-up albums, and obviously I have 2 Trump albums as well. But, you know, I'm really proud of my stand-up, and I don't have too many disappointed stand-up fans. I can tell you that. I'm really good. And it means a lot. And you can hear sort of my personal, through jokes, through stories, but you can basically hear my life from like 2004 and earlier. Obviously, there's some childhood jokes and some upbringing jokes, but basically from 2004 to 2018, you can just hear my life and my thoughts on the world. So when I start doing the road, I'm looking into packaging all 6 albums into like 1 digital USB drive, you know, like some stylized, like little merch. And selling them for like, you know, hey, get all 6 albums, $40. But until that happens, you know, go buy some, go buy all. And I don't need, it's not really about the money. My money has been doing very well since I sort of blew up during this pandemic. Something that if I ever become a big comedy star, it's going to be one of those weird things where I go, you know, I always knew I had it. I always told people I had it. I always tried to show that I had it. But without a disaster, I would have still been a nobody probably, which is a weird philosophical thing to ponder. Like, if the world hadn't turned to shit, my comedy didn't change. The content was still the same. People just discovered it. I'm grateful, but it's weird to have to be grateful to something so painful that afflicted the whole world. And honestly, America the worst because of our stupid leadership. But, you know, it's one of those things that, I don't know, I don't know if it'll bother me. I don't know if bother is the right word, but it's one of those things where you go, God, would the world have still not given me my respect if this hadn't happened? And it's weird. It's a very weird thing to think because, you know, it took this for people to go, oh my God, this is the best Trump impression. Well, the Trump impression was the best there is in February and in January and in November. So, oh great. Now, the people who live above me are really fucking annoying. It's my one complaint about Jersey. They're always running around the apartment. I don't know if they have fat kids or something, but it's really loud. And Cookie just got disturbed. She was ready to start barking, but she's respecting the podcast process. That's one thing she's learned how to do. Though she's staring around like she's on guard now. Like if she could hold a gun and have it in a holster, her hand would be over the holster. That's kind of her readiness right now. But she seems to be chilling, and she's getting out of her chair. How about that, folks? Play-by-play about my dog. Isn't that fun? So that is, I guess, politics and self-plug portion of the show. Not sure what else to talk about. I'm just pumping out as much content. It's funny because I have all these sketch ideas that I want to do, but I'm not good at editing and doing stuff like that, and I have no cast. I don't have an available, you know, if you look back on my YouTube. So I just have to keep pumping out sort of selfie videos. That's why I kind of mix it up with some Kavanaugh, with some other characters that I do with a Pence video yesterday. But I don't know. I'm ready for this to be over already. I mean, everybody is, I guess, but you know, I'm not going to risk myself or others prematurely, but you know, we really could have been, you know, just imagine if we could have been in a world where comedy clubs were all open at 50% as long as you wear a mask, that offices were open and restaurants, and if you just wear a mask, it's limited enough that restaurants could be at 50% indoors everywhere. Just little things like that, that would be tough, but that there would be a thirst and a desire to get out there. And you know, I want to go to like nearby diners and just sit outside, not even because I like the food better, because I just want to change the scenery. And we can't do that. Movies are closed. It stinks. So I don't know. I guess I don't know if that's enough for an episode. I think it is. Nobody gives a shit. I ranted on politics. I plugged all my shit, begging for alms for the poor. I will say this, I have reinvested in my career in a serious way because I have made, since April, I guess 3.5 months since I joined Cameo, let me put it this way, I have made, Cameo has paid me more money than, let's just say, in the 3.5 months, Cameo has paid me more money than my law firm. Okay, so I've done very well on Cameo. So without giving away everything, I am reinvesting in my career. I figure reinvesting the Cameo money is a safe bet because I'm still making YouTube money. I still have a nice job with pay and benefits. And there's ad money coming into the other podcast. So I thought this investment, which will be for the rest of the year, will hopefully elevate me and, you know, get some attention for the Trump album, Fireside Craps, The Deuce. And we'll see, in the words of Trump, we'll see what happens. But, I hope I can tour in January. I hope that I'm at that level. I mean, I know I'm at that level, but I hope I can really put together something that gives me confidence that, okay, do I have a special? Do I have an offer for a special? Do I have some touring dates? You know, so I can just know that 2021 is the year I can finally, after 17 and a half years, say, I'm a comedian. That's what I do. You know me for that. That's how I make my living. Instead of this, you know, this existence, as I joked on Diamond Maker, my second album, there's a track called Lawyer by Day, Comedian by Night, where I sort of mockingly act like a superhero whose superpower is stand-up comedy. So that would be nice. So I figured it was, this is the one, you know, this is the one time to reinvest in my career. These moments, you know, the world, the entertainment world is still largely on hiatus. So I still have a fairly captive audience in need of content, in need of distraction. So even though I don't anticipate my following going down, it's never going to be as sort of probably, it may not be at this rate or at this level of attention. So this is the time to really try to magnify that. So we'll see. We'll see if your boy ends up being a big star by 2021, or if I'm just lucky to have a lot of money in the bank and still working at a law firm. But 2021, there ain't gonna be no double life. I'm either gonna be a lawyer or a comedian, and I don't think I can keep up. I'm, you know, out of shape, 41-year-old. I can't keep up this double life. It's a very exhausting life because right now I don't sleep a lot. I work hard. Because I can't trust comedy yet, as I've said repeatedly the last few weeks, I cannot trust comedy to do the right thing. So I got to see my name on the dotted line. I got to see those checks and those tour dates before I say, okay, I am a comedian and that the future looks bright. Because all I need is a substantial enough opportunity to go, oh, well, I'm going to nail this. Oh, I have a 30-date tour or 30 gig, like 30 weeks lined up at clubs around the country. Perfect. Now, once I'm done with that, I will have a huge fan base. People will recognize what I do. I have, in other words, my confidence is if I know I'm going to get the exposure I want, then I'm good to go because I my faith in the product. The same way I have faith in the Trump impression, I have faith in my stand-up to the utmost. So I know once I get that chance, it's going to happen. But until I get that chance, I have to keep the day job, keep putting in the hours at the day job, and then keep the momentum going on the comedy career. Because if I don't keep the momentum, then I maybe guarantee that comedy won't work out. But I have no guarantee that it will work out. It's only stopping will probably ensure that it won't. So I have to keep trying with the comedy, keep doing things to get exposure and hype and producing while paying homage to the day job, which is, you know, like, as I say, I think I've made this analogy before. The day job is Boof from Teen Wolf. Okay? And I've said this before. I'm not sure what the 80s were a weird time where as long as you were blonde, they acted like you were hotter, even though Boof was way cuter than Pamela in Teen Wolf. Go watch it. I think it's available on Amazon Prime. Yeah, I think it's you can stream it for free on Amazon Prime this month. The law job is Boof, even, you know, weird to call a job at a big law firm Boof, but you know what? It's there. It was there when I needed money. It was there when I was unable to find steady work, and it has great benefits, and it is always there every week, whether I like it or not. Like, Boof was the cute neighbor, and comedy is the 1980s blonde temptress, where you're like, I know at the end of this, you're going to be a piece of shit, but I'm still going to have a fling with you because, damn it, that's what I've been told I want. But what I'm hoping is that they somehow merge into a blonde Boof. And and that's what we'll see. We'll see what happens. And diet update. Let's end on some positive news. We're 20 days into the keto diet. I started the diet at 302. And I was even a couple pounds heavier, I think, the day before. One of my last meals was a delicious IHOP stack of pancakes to go, followed, I think, by pizza and a Talenti Joe. Like, I enter a diet like I'm Ed Norton going to prison in 25th Hour. I basically just, on that last day, I think I had a bagel for breakfast, and then a late lunch of a stack of pancakes from IHOP. And they do to go right. They've got their containers ready to roll. They give you the IHOP syrup and butter to go. Because I was worried I'd have to like mix and match and maybe use some Mrs. Butterworth's or something. Nope, I got the full IHOP experience at home. Although I like sitting in an IHOP. I of the places I miss right now, other than, you know, what could have been maybe some touring, I do miss IHOP. And I miss movie theaters. I'm a simple, I know I have worldly talents and I'm sort of a, you know, what historians might refer to as a great man, but I'm a simple man when it comes to the pleasures. I like Cheesecake Factory. I like the gym. I like IHOP. I like movie theaters. I like curling up with a book in a Starbucks and then people asking me, why are you curling up on that bench, you giant? Put your feet down. Please sit in a chair like an adult. Just kidding. I never put my feet up in public places and I hate people who do. I remember being on a date with somebody and it was just a harbinger of doom. It ended up being a relationship that was absolutely earth-shattering. But I remember they were all about putting their bare feet up on the movie theater seat in front of them. And I said, in my head, I was like, you know this is a warning sign. You know this is something you're not okay with. And I let it slide. And I paid the price later on, for sure. But yeah, I like simple stuff. And I miss sitting in an IHOP. Like, my girlfriend would work before this hit, Sundays through Thursdays. And she goes back to work Thursday. And she's very nervous, unfortunately. And I understand. After having she's had over 4 months of paid leave, which is very nice by her company, but she goes back to work Thursday and she's nervous, and I sympathize. But God damn it, what was I talking? Well, there you go. It's never too late to have a brain fart during the episode. Girlfriend working, nervous. I was on IHOP, Simple Pleasures, the diet. Damn it. Guys, I hate when I do this to you. And I don't like to stop the podcast and like retreat and figure out what the fuck I was talking about. I'll just punch myself when I listen to the episode and go, God damn it, that's what I was talking about. But nervous. I was talking about being nervous about coronavirus, right? Girlfriend, she's away. Girlfriend's going back to work. Cookie's making noises now because she's in deep sleep. You ever wonder if your dog's having nightmares or if she's just having normal dog sleep? Because she's had a rough upbringing her first year, and I get nervous that she's like reliving trauma, or maybe she's just, you know, doing the equivalent of like snoring. Girlfriend was nervous about going back to work. I'm going to pause this, guys. I never do this, but I'll be back. So we're back. And yes, I remembered, folks. So stupid. You probably weren't. Maybe some of you were yelling at me going, Jail, you were talking about IHOP. Yeah, I was just saying one of my fun traditions since moving out to New Jersey is my girlfriend works Sunday through Thursday. So on Sunday evenings, 6 o'clock, you know, I would just saunter over to IHOP with a book, get myself a nice fluffy stack of 5 pancakes, butter on the side, please. I don't need your giant mound of butter melting entirely into the first pancake. Thank you. I know it makes for good presentation, but I like to distribute the butter evenly and cut those up with some original syrup. Side order of sausage, chocolate milkshake. You know, the kind of healthy meal that somebody like me loves to eat. And now I can't do that, nor should I be, obviously. But yeah, on the last day before the diet, I think I had a bagel to start, you know, just a bagel and a juice. Late lunch of IHOP, and then a pizza, split a pizza with the righteous girlfriend. And then for dessert, I had an entire pint of Talenti, and I said, tomorrow it begins. And that was 21 days ago, so we're on day 20 of the diet, and as of now, I've lost 20 pounds from 302 to 282. 282, of course, was what I called fat fuck me when I was, 26. And then I lost weight then, and, got on TV, looked great. Got into lost my job in 2009, and that was, I've never recovered fully. Not that I was in a bad position. I had money, and I thought my comedy career was going to take off in 2009. So I was like, I'm not getting another job. I'm about to become a comedy superstar, folks. Not to spoiler, that didn't happen. But I don't know what it was about that time. I was pretty happy. I was in a good relationship. I was getting some road work. I still looked good, even though in my head I was like, oh man, I'm getting fat. But that was me at like 250. And I was like, I'm getting fat. Because I had been like 238. I've gone through this. Please keep my enemies closer. If you buy one album, you should buy them all. But if you buy one album, Keep My Enemies Closer is just it's the best, I think. And I have a track on that called Getting Fat. And God, I love that track. I love that whole fucking album. But basically, it was just I got into this complacency mode where I was like, I could go to the, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write. I'm going to lift for 2 hours a day. I'm going to be like, I'm going to be a beast when this is over. And instead, what I would do is I'd wake up, I'd go to get a bagel and a chocolate milk. I'd watch some shows, play some video games. I played a lot of video games then. Because video games and movies are, and Netflix are great for snacking. And I love snacks. As I joked on Twitter, I said, I think snacking is my favorite activity. Not reading, not watching TV, not playing games, not going for walks, not anything. I think snacks are my favorite activity. Snacks. I also put up a Greg Giraldo impression video, just trying to show a little bit of the versatility. Snacks, sir. You're getting fat. And what I would do is, that's when my habit of eating entire boxes of cookies started. So I was eating like a box of Entenmann's in the middle of the afternoon. I'm talking the big box, not these little bitch-ass boxes that they started selling, but the big boxes. I would just down a whole box of those. And then I'd go to the gym the next day, and I was still kind of lifting, so I wasn't getting fat. I was just getting out of shape, but I still had muscle and stuff. And then injuries started happening, and I just got more and more depressed and ate like shit. And there have been a few times. I remember around 2011, I'd gotten my weight from like 290 or like from like 290 to like 259 or something. And then I got plantar fasciitis in a bad way and couldn't run that entire summer. And you know what I did. I ate a bunch of cookies. 2012, I just drank a ton. That's when my weight first went over 300. I think I peaked at like 317. And then it's just been a struggle. And then in 2018 was the first time I really was on my way, because I'd gotten my weight down from like, you know, from like 295 to 261. And I'd done it from like February to May, or from January to May. And then I was on the road, like I was hitting the gym on the road and shit like that. And then, my voice is starting to turn into Sherrod Brown. That's when you know I've got to stop talking, because then I start turning into a working class senator from Ohio. God, if Sherrod Brown had been the nominee instead of Joe Biden, I'd be in the same position. I wouldn't be making any more money. But I might be doing cameos as Sherrod Brown as well. Just put on a curly wig and talk like this. But then I hurt my neck. I hurt my spine, which was like a recurring injury that usually recovered completely with rest and stretching. This time it was not. I was like practically crippled on the left side of I still have nerve issues and serious weakness and atrophy in my, it's almost like I had a mini stroke in my left side. You wouldn't be able to tell, but like my tricep strength and my pec strength are like really diminished in my left side. And I haven't been as faithful to the exercises that I need to be, because it's annoying. It's ego. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, my left, it's like my bitch ass side of my body. You know, when I'm in the weight room, when those used to be open, you know, I could be banging out 15 reps on my right arm and I'm caving after 7 on my left. So I just have to be more diligent about that. But 2018 was the year, because man, once I was headed to the summer at 260 with like June, July, August, September to run, which is always what helps me burn weight the most and sort of disciplines me, you know, getting up at 6 a.m. in the summer and going for a 3 or 4 mile run is a great way to start if you can do that. And I was getting into shape, and then I fucked up my spine, and I haven't been able to recover since, you know, because I'm not somebody who's able to discipline very well when they can't do everything. If I can't exercise and go out and party and do all this shit and look good, then I'm like, well, what's the point? Why don't I just eat this cheeseburgers, bacon burger. I don't really like cheese. Well, sometimes I'll take it. If it has bacon, I will eat it, but I prefer bacon burger over bacon cheeseburger. I mean, I have this bacon burger and I'll end it with a milkshake, and then I'll just nibble on you know, a bakery cookie while I watch TV till 1 a.m. So finally, I have exhibited the right discipline, and I think the fact that I may actually have a career in comedy was the motivation I needed. That may sound vain, but you know what? I can't squander this again. Old story for people, I may have told this, but when in 2007, when a manager briefly collaborated with me, I think is the word, because I never signed anything on a dotted line. But this is how I got on Craig Ferguson. And when I had a conversation with Barry Katz, who was the head of the agency at that time, it was sort of an introduction, like, hey, I'm Barry Katz. We watched your stuff. We like your humor. But what he said to me was like, not only are you funny, but we look at you and we see somebody that could be running from a fireball one day. And he meant that as like, you look like you could be an action star. And then The Rock came in and totally stole my shit. But he thought and instead what I heard when he said that was, he likes my comedy. Oh, and he's got compliments as well. That makes me feel good. But what it was really a clue, it was saying, comedy's great, but we see you as something bigger than comedy, and you should maybe lean into that. Acting lessons, stay in shape, maintain your fitness, you know, that look. And I didn't. And I never thought about it. I don't think it was a conscious decision, but I never thought about it. And I wonder if all these years, as good as my comedy was, if I had stayed in shape or even gotten like more fit or more muscular, if I'd just been consistent, would I have gotten more work? Would people have just been like, oh, we can use that guy. Like, he should be in this movie, or he'd be good for this role, because look at him. He looks, you know. In 2007, I was fucking, it was just, I don't know if I'll ever be that again. Probably not, but I was in tremendous shape and looked really good. And this is my next shot. It's taken 13 years for me to get a serious look and a serious interest and serious momentum to my career. And even though it's shallow, I can't go out there looking fucking like a slob. So 20 pounds in 20 days, I'm not going to maintain that pace. You know, after another week, I'm going to start just introducing sort of paleo level shit. So I'm going to keep all the garbage out of my system, but I'm going to introduce more fruits and some, you know, almond flour based snacks and shit like that. Cause that stuff does work. It did work for me, but I need to take this really seriously, because if this is the last time I will have the spotlight. Now I want to keep this spotlight for the next 20 years in some capacity, but it's not going to come around again, because if this fades and my comedy career fades again, then I'm just going to say, okay, I'm going to put this money somewhere. It was a good year. It was a great year. I can invest this money in something, whether it be buying a place to live or whatever. But it's not, I'm not waiting another 8 to 13 years to get another moment. I don't want to be 50 and go, I finally made it, because this takes too much to just make it your whole life, to make your whole life a struggle. If you struggle for your kids or you struggle for survival, I respect that. That totally makes sense. But if you struggle out of sort of vanity and choice, I can't do that. I've done it already, so I can't do that again, if that makes sense. So yeah, that's what's motivating me on the diet. I wish it was something more substantive. I wish it was, hey, I want to, you know, some people know this, but my girlfriend and I, we've been seeing each other for 5 years now, but we had dated for like a month in 2004. But I was just, I had just broken up with my college and law school girlfriend. So we'd been dating for 4.5 serious years. And so I was just like, yeah, I'm not, see ya. Very hard to move on. And, you know, I wish it was something more noble, like, well, you know, she, you know, I shouldn't be such a fat slob. I should, you know, be more nicer looking for my partner. Or just more presentable, or it'll help my mood. It'll help my everything. It'll just be better for everybody if I'm healthier. And I wish I could say that. And sometimes I try to use that as motivation. But the truth is, the greatest motivating factor right now is that this is my adult life dream. And I feel like I'm close. And I can't let something like not being fit, if that's a selling point for me, if that's something I can bring to the table, not everybody can, but if that's something I can bring to the table, and it was something that attracted managers many years ago, then that's what I got to do. And, you know, that's just being honest, as selfish as it might be. Everybody will benefit if this can work out. But yeah, that's why I've lost 20 pounds in 20 days, and why I want sweets, because I love fucking sweets. I want to eat a pizza and then have some bakery cookies, but I got to start to really eliminate that shit as like a lifestyle. You know, it'll be many months before I can get to a Cheesecake Factory, and I won't be able to resist those temptations. But you know what? I hopefully will be in a better position, more muscle, more fat burning capabilities to once in a while have a treat. But gone are the days of the bullshit, because, you know, anything that will help me at this point, I have to go with. So 282, but at my muscle level right now, because this ain't the 282 I was when I was 26. I still could fucking throw up weights. I'm a weak bitch right now. So truth be told, my weight should be like 230. So that's hopefully as I start to work out more and my, you know, nerve damage goes away, hopefully, you know, 235, 240 is where I should be once I start adding muscle over the next 5 to 7 months. But can't be fat anymore. This has to be the last day of my life that I'm 282. That's what I'm saying. So, okay. Yeah, that was, at least I wasn't complaining about lip syncing, guys. How about that? That was just a little more honesty and trip down memory lane and hopefully not to type 2 diabetes with JL. So, yeah, thank you for listening. I have to get back to work now. That was the lunch hour. So that could almost be the name of this podcast now. Welcome to the lunch hour with JL, who's not billing this time to his law firm. So hopefully good things on the rise. I hope everybody stays safe out there. Stay healthy. Wear your masks. I don't say that as some cheesy thing. I just hope the people who listen to my shit are mask wearers instead of assholes. Yeah, just be smart and safe. And hopefully 2021, I'll be out there doing my thing. And I'll be doing it, you know, wearing smaller pants and tighter shirts, looking like a real douchebag. That's the only downside, guys, is when I get really fit, then I just get assumed that I'm some douchebag. And then chicks start trying to step out of line with me, not knowing that I'm a man of faith and fidelity. It's my next album title. No. yeah. So, yeah, you can't either I become a big lug or I become a fucking irresistible sex symbol. That is my cross to bear, folks. That is my cross. And let's hope I can get there. Probably not. They're just going to say, you look pretty fit for a tall, tired dude. That's probably where I'm headed. So whatever, guys. This is this week's episode. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next Tuesday.